I invite you to hear our text for this morning. It's a psalm. It's Psalm 90. It's a familiar passage for many. We're reading the entire psalm this morning. I would invite you today, as you hear these words, to not only hear them, but make these words your prayer. As we read them, as you follow along in the order of worship or on the screen, make these words your prayer this morning as we give them back to God. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. I am so grateful that in our worship services, they are meaningful because the music and the text and the sermon work together in a united theme. I know David and Jane and Suzanne and the choir and so many others work hard to make sure that all the elements of our service come together so that we feel this sense of united effort in our worship. You know, that is not always the case in every church. I heard about a church where the pastor and the minister of music were not getting along very well, and that tension kind of spilled over into the worship services, actually. The pastor was preaching a sermon one day on commitment and that we needed to follow God wherever God would have us to go. And the minister of music had the congregation sing, "We shall not be moved," right? Well, the next week it got even worse. The preacher preached on tithing that we should give to God, and the minister of music had them sing, "Jesus paid it all," right? The next week it continued. It got worse. He preached on gossiping, and the minister of music had the congregation sing, "I love to tell the story." Well, it got so bad, the next week the pastor said, "You know," he told the congregation, I'm thinking about just resigning." And the minister of music led them singing, "Why, oh, why not tonight?" And the next Sunday, he stood in the pulpit and he said, "You know, I've decided I am going to resign. Jesus led me here and Jesus is leading me away." And they sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." It's silly, I know, but while I'm on it, there was a church where the pastor was preaching on temperance. I'm sure you've heard about this. And he stood in the pulpit and he said, you know, if I had all the beer in the world, I would pour it in the river. And he said with more enthusiasm, if I had all the wine in the world, I would pour it in the river. And he said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I would pour it in the river. Well, there's only one song to sing after that. Shall we gather at the river, right? I'm thankful that our services fit together so nice. The music today fits with Psalm 90 so well. It fits with our theme for the day. It fits with what's happening in our lives and what's happening in our church. The psalmist reminds us God has always been and always will be. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. We have relied upon God in the past. God is with us now. God will be with us in the future. Last Sunday at our 150th anniversary celebration, Dr. Bradley did such a great job, a wonderful sermon that had that same message for us. God has been with us in the past. God is with us now. And as Dr. Bradley said, our God is the God of not yet, the future. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That message resonates in Psalm 90. It resonates in the hymns that we have sung this morning. On All Saints Sunday, on this day where we remember those faithful individuals in our church who have meant so much to us, who have passed away this calendar year, on this significant day, we focus on the hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, a hymn that tells us of God's continual love and presence in our lives. We're going to think about that hymn in just a moment. But before we do, let me just call your attention to two other hymns that we sang this morning for just a moment. A Mighty Fortress. It was written and composed by the great theologian and reformer Martin Luther. The date of this hymn cannot be fixed with exact certainty, but it is generally believed that this hymn was written by Luther before the Diet of Spires in 1529. That was when the term Protestant was first used, protesting what was happening in the church. That means this beloved hymn has been sung by Christians around the world for almost 500 years. When we sing it this morning, we sing it as a Christian body that has sung this hymn for centuries. Even more important, however, than its role in the Protestant Reformation is what it means for us today. When we experience difficult times in our lives, and all of us go through those times when we have difficult, trying circumstances, a crisis or a problem that seems larger than we can bear, we're fearful, we are worried, we experience those occasions where we need to be comforted, we need to be guided by God's presence, and then we sing those incredible words. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. Isn't that what we heard from our youth choir as well? When we're walking through the dark valleys, God is with us. We're reminded this morning through music, through scripture, and through spoken word that God is the God of the good times and also the difficult times of our lives. We have that promise. We also sing For All the Saints this morning. That hymn was written by William Howe. And he was ordained in the Church of England in 1847. He became the suffragan bishop in East London in 1879. He became the Bishop of Wakefield in 1888. He was called both the poor man's bishop as well as the children's bishop. He was known, Reverend Howe was, for his work among the destitute in London, who lived in the slums. He was known for working or ministering to the factory workers in West Yorkshire. This hymn around the world on this day is traditionally sung on All Saints Day to remember those who are no longer with us but who serve God faithfully. That's why we sing it today. But this hymn also reminds us that just as God has been with the great saints of the past, God is and will be with us as well. The words of this great hymn remind us of Psalm 90. Listen again to what we sang. For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confess, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia. And then verse 2. Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou in the darkness dread, their one true light. Alleluia. Today we sing the great promises of our faith. And then we come to the hymn that is the focus of our sermon today, O God, our help in ages past. This hymn is considered by many to be one of the finest ever written, and perhaps it is the best known of the 600 plus hymns that Isaac Watts composed. Isaac Watts is often referred to as the father of English hymnody. At a very early age, Isaac displayed an unusual talent in writing poetic verse. As a young man, he became increasingly concerned about congregational singing. He felt that the churches and the Christians were not singing as strongly and as powerfully as was due to God in a worship service. Now, at the time, only literal words of Scripture were used for hymns. At that time, to use any words other than the actual words of Scripture was considered to be an insult to God in that day and age. But Isaac Watts was challenged by his father. His father said to him, "Write something better for us to sing." So young Isaac Watts began to create new versions of the Psalms. He read the Psalms and he took the meaning and many of the words, but he crafted a new version of those Psalms, something that was expressive and more stylistic and fitting with the language of his day. And at the age of 25 years old, Isaac Watts published an important hymnal. It was called the Psalms of David in the language of the New Testament. And that hymnal was the hymn we sang, O God, our help in ages past. Many others of his favorite hymns were included. Joy to the World, based on Psalm 98. Jesus Shall Reign, based on Psalm 72. And today, after more than 260 years, Isaac Watts' hymn is still a timely reminder of God's faithfulness throughout the years and God's promises for us today and in the future. God has always been there for us. In times of joy, in times of need, God's presence is there. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blasts, and our eternal home. This morning, on the weekend following our grand 150th anniversary celebration, maybe we come here today and we continue to have questions. What will our future look like? As Nancy so eloquently prayed in her prayer today, God, what do you want from us? How will we serve God and worship God in this new phase of our church life as we enter a new section of time? What will change? What will remain the same? Even on a more personal note, as we gather together this morning, As we approach the holiday season, Thanksgiving's just a few weeks away now. Christmas is just around the corner. A new year will be quickly on the heels as you deal with a rapidly changing world. As we all face economic concerns and questions, as we struggle with health issues, as we deal with family tensions and relationships, we have questions. Will we be okay as we move toward the end of this year through the holiday season? How will I deal with losses that we have experienced? How will I grieve and how will my life continue as I deal with this grief? What will 2023 bring for me and my family? How will we deal with the situations that we will face in the coming years? The answer for the Christian is that God has always been there for us in the past, and we believe that whatever comes, God will be with us in the future. So what does it mean to live our lives in a way that God is always there for us? What does it mean that God has been our help in the past and our hope for years to come? Derek Redmond represented England in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. He provided one of the most memorable moments in track and field events in Olympic history. Derek Redmond had a lifelong dream of winning a gold medal in the 400-meter race. That was his dream. And in the semifinals, his dream seemed to be in sight. The starting gun went off, and Derek began the race of his life. He was running so well. Everything felt good as he rounded the turn and as he was coming toward the back stretch. But all of a sudden, his world came crashing down. Derek Redmond felt a sharp and searing pain go up the back of his leg. And before he knew what had happened, Derek slammed face first into the track. He had torn his right hamstring. As medical attendants came out and approached him, Derek Redmond fought them off. He fought to his feet. Later, he said it was He described it as some kind of almost animal instinct in him that made him get up. And he set out hopping into a crazed attempt to finish the race in spite of this terrible injury that he had just experienced. When he reached the home stretch, a large man in a white t-shirt came out of the stands and went out onto the track where Derek Redmond was hopping. The security guards tried to stop the man from coming out onto the track, but he fought them off and he made his way out to Derek Redmond. It was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. We have a picture of what they look like. And Jim Redmond went to his son, and as his son was hopping toward the finish line, he grabbed his son and he said to his son, "Derek, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this." And Derek, through his eyes filled with tears, he said, "Yes, Dad, I do." So Jim Redmond said to his son, "Then we're going to finish this race together." And father and son did just that. They fought off more security guards. They continued the race together. Sometimes Derek's head was resting on his father's shoulder. Sometimes his face was buried in his father because the pain was so intense. But they finished the race. They stayed in their lane to make it official. The crowd gasped as they watched. They rose to their feet As Jim and Derek Redmond came to the finish line, the crowd screamed and they clapped and they wept. And Derek Redmond and his father, Jim, crossed the finish line. Later, Derek Redmond was asked if he was surprised that his father had fought his way out onto the track to help him. And here are Derek Redmond's words. He says, "No, I wasn't surprised. He's always been there for me. He's always helped me. Why would this situation be any different?" Derek Redmond did not finish. He did not win the gold medal that day. He didn't complete that dream that he had. But he walked away with an incredible memory. A memory that his father demonstrated unconditional, unending love for his son. A father who had been there for him in the past and was with him in his greatest time of need. I ask you, how much more will God be there for us in our times of need in life? How much more will God be there for you when you travel through the dark valley? How much more will God be there for you when you need God the most? If God cares for the birds of the air and the flowers and the trees all around us, then how much more does God care for you? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful this day for the promises that you make to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being there in the good and the bad times of life. Thank you for walking beside us when we limp and need you the most. So God, today we pray you would take our life and may it be consecrated to you. For we pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.